he'd have some information to it, but it'd be fun, and he'd go off on stretches where he just kind of goes after it. I think I've done it.
Are you highlighting the first Bluntcast guest as well?
No,
just the
not,
guest.
It's okay. Not about the guest, right? But it'll be Seth Rogen. Now, all this being said, we have yet to have any official. The Browns are expected to interview ... for the head coaching job.
Yeah.
I do think it was interesting that Adam Schefter today on whatever podcast he has.
It was the Pat McAfee show?
But with Pat McAfee's producer?
Yeah, I think so, right?
We credit that?
I think so.
Okay, then let's do that. On the Pat McAfee show with McAfee's like sixth most important guy.
That's how that show works. I think the guy's filling in for McAfee today. He's in front of a screen that says Pat McAfee show.
I think he's
the guy filling in for McAfee.
A little on
McAfee.
The nose for me.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe like a life-size cutout of Pat in the background. However, talking about how the Browns search for a head coach might look.
I don't think the Cleveland Browns can hire a defensive-minded coach and keep that defense together the way it is for this reason. Their defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, has done an unbelievable job. He's respected around the league. If they hire a defensive-minded head coach, let's think of the top defensive candidates, Brian Flores, Jesse Minter, whoever, Jim Schwartz is not going to be happy about that.
No.
And they're going to lose him. So if you're the Browns, you are absolutely looking at an offensive-minded head coach so you can retain your defensive coordinator who's sought after. I think that's how they're thinking in Cleveland right now. I think that's how they have to think because Jim Schwartz is that good and that valuable. If they lose Schwartz, that defense steps back.
I've noticed that Adam really likes to use slight pauses.
Almost doing a shot
here and there.
Yeah.
To really make himself sound more intelligent.
Oh, by the way, that was the Adam Schefter podcast where he had the producer from Pat McAfee's show as his actual guest. That's how that works. Schefter can book anybody on the planet, but it's McAfee's producer. That's the guy that he gets.
So it's
okay.
That guy.
That's guy. Right. I like the thought process though.
I don't.
I hated the delivery, but I like the thought process. I know it doesn't vibe with the... And by the way, you can find an offensive guy that's the leader of men. That totally is a thing. I always gravitate towards offensive-minded people. That's just how I always think.
I understand. I just think if you just limit yourself to one side of the ball, or, hey, have you called plays... I think it gets really dangerous really quickly, and well, I think you cut yourself off good
This was more about the preservation of making sure that Schwartz remains the defensive coordinator.
I think you have to talk to Jim, and I think any defensive head coach, like a Chris Shula, you'd have to go, hey, just so you know, you're the head coach. You don't call plays. You're not the defensive coordinator. That's not why you're here. You're here to be the head coach. And as long as – and listen, it might be make or break for Jim. I can't listen if – I love Jim. I would do almost anything. I would pay him asinine amounts of money to stay. But if his thing is, I can't go with that head coach because he coached on the defensive side of the ball, then it looks like I just lost Jim Schwartz.
And I think that's what Schefter's saying the Browns are scared of happening, really, in reality. And we don't know. I don't know if the Browns are going to be scared of losing Jim Schwartz this way. We have no idea. What we do know is that for the past couple years, they've been one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I do think Schefter's right. I think you take a step back if Jim Schwartz isn't here.
No, definitely. Well, okay, if Jim Schwartz isn't here and you replace him with a guy that needs to switch the system. Meaning like Jonathan
Gannon.
That's
part of the problem with Brian Flores, by the way.
Yeah.
They run two different systems.
He runs a 3-3-2 and you don't have enough beef up front.
So if Flores comes in, first off, that's not what Myles Garrett has ever been the best in. You do run a risk of changing everything up, trying to make everything completely different and seeing who fits and doesn't fit. And you have a chance to taking a step back.
But I think it does. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I just don't like limiting your coaching search because of anything. You need to just go cast a wide net and find the right guy. All this being said, everybody's got to have a name. Who was the odds-on favorite from Vegas? The leadoff was Saleh, right?
I'd have to double check it. But as of yesterday, I think Saleh was number one. Yes,
but. So we've done the not list. We've started that.
Yeah, we did do that.
And so we're going to continue adding to the not list.
It was Saleh, McCarthy, Joe Brady, Jim Schwartz, Kubiak. Those were your top five all at 9-1 or better.
All right. So do you have a name that you lead and go, this is the guy?
Well, no. First off, no, I don't. I don't have. I don't have a name that I love. I don't have a name that
you're gonna die on the hill of.
The name that I'm gonna throw out there, if in another context someone's like, "Oh yeah, Jonathan wants this guy," I get embarrassed hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love that. I've been staunchly against this guy for the majority of the time that he's been a head coach.
I think I already know where
you
it's
know
going.
Where I'm going. I'm going with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
it's the best I got, and I hate it. I can't stand it. There's a couple reasons why I think he fits for the Browns right now. Coming from Dallas. Jerry World is, that's, if you want to come anything close to what Haslam recreates, it's Jerry Jones in Dallas. And he maneuvered that as best as you possibly can. So Haslam's going to be a walk in the park compared to what Jerry Jones can do. I think that's valuable. He won 12 games, three straight years in Dallas. And I know he had all sorts of talent on that team. I get it. The problem I have with Mike McCarthy is there is a clear and cut ceiling with Mike McCarthy. This version of Mike McCarthy, okay, from like 2012 on, there's a clear ceiling that he has. This would have to be a, he gets you to where Mike Tomlin has the Steelers for the previous 8 years. You're at a slightly above 500 team. You may win a playoff game, you may not, and then you got to move on from him. It would be like a stopgap of sorts for like 2 or 3 years to get you in a good spot, and then you get going. But that's the best I can come up with. And if anyone tries to say that I'm like, this is who I'm pounding the table for, I get embarrassed at the thought of it, but it's the best I got.
I don't think McCarthy's a bad head coach. By the way, I talked to Doug Peterson, too. I know the end in Jacksonville wasn't good. He won a playoff game in Jacksonville 2 years before being fired, and the guy did win a Super Bowl. I think he has something like, in 7 or 8 years as a head coach, he's got something like 8 or 9 playoff wins, which is ridiculous.
His name has not come up at all, by the way, which is interesting.
I'm kind of blown away that it hasn't been, because I would be as comfortable with Peterson as I would McCarthy. And again, I'm not, those aren't the guys I'm, if there's one guy, if you make me say, like, who would be the guy that would be like, that I'd be most positive today, it would be Flores. And with all the changes that honestly, the problem with Flores is I would have to go and I would say, you're the head coach. Jim Schwartz is my defensive coordinator. And if you don't accept it, then you don't accept it. And I also think the other problem is everyone just goes, oh, he's going to Las Vegas. That might be so. But just because Tom Brady loves Brian Flores doesn't mean that Brian Flores loves Tom Brady
also,
or loves that
Tom
situation.
Brady reportedly loved Shador Sanders at one point, too, and you saw how that ended up. Like, it doesn't mean it has to happen that way. Flores has become a very popular take with a lot of people. I do get worried about changing up the defenses, and I do get worried about, I mean, really, it's, I mean, I don't think Flores takes the job if you say Schwartz is the DC and we're running his defense, and that is
then,
what it is.
To me, so for some guys... No. I think for a guy like Flores, it might be the thing that allows me to go, you know what? I love Jim Schwartz, but I have a decision to make. I don't know. If you push me right now, I couldn't answer you. Would I choose Schwartz as the DC or Flores as a head coach? But if you talk about a guy that I know the ceiling of any team you have with him is going to be an 8-win team. I really do think if you give that guy talent...
You mean the floor?
That's not great. The floor for most teams with him is going to be 8 wins. And if it's any less than that, then that's how many games that team was going to win at best. Like I think he will maximize the floor of any team, and I think that bodes well for him.
I get the leader of men side of things with him. There's something I'm missing with him that other people are just gravitating towards, and I just can't figure out what it is. I don't know if it's the fact that he sued 3 teams across the league. It was just some people looked at it as a positive. I think you're included in that camp.
Yeah.
There's something I'm missing with the Brian Flores discussion that there's something I can't get over, and I don't know what exactly that is, but I'm not gravitated to him the way that other people are.
I think he's the rare Belichick disciple that I think
maybe that's what's tainting it in many ways for myself.
Totally fair. Totally. If you look at this and go, I'm not touching the Belichick tree. Totally get it. Here's the thing. I would take Flores. If you can keep Schwartz, gosh, what a win. If I get Brian Daboll as the OC. Because whether you think it's Shador, whether you think it's Deshaun, whoever you think can start next year for this team, whether it's somebody that we're not, you know, that's not in the building yet, I know if it's a developmental player, Brian Daboll can get it out of him.
Well, between Daboll, now we get to throw Kingsbury in the mix as the OC, by the way.
No.
I know he wants to be, not even as an OC.
No, I have no interest.
He's a good OC.
I disagree. He's not. I
understand the concerns as a head coach. I think he could be an OC. We saw it.
I think everything that I've heard about him as an OC is the same thing I've heard about Kevin as a coordinator, that his idea of what an offense is has passed by. It's gotten stale, didn't grow, not creative. I don't – for an OC, if I got Flores, that's going to scare the crap out of you when you ask him a question at a press conference. If that's my head coach, I need a Mike McDaniel. I need a genius as the OC. That, or at the very least, with Daboll, a guy I know can develop talent.
I mean, he was just in the NFC title game 2 years ago. Like, I think that'd be a home run as an OC hire. I think there's a couple guys we always float out as like this pie in the sky dream. But either way, if it's Daboll,
I think it'd be a strike three looking.
If it's what was our guy the other day? A swing and a
swing and a miss.
It was so abrupt.
I believe it was swing and a miss.
It was like, and I like the Browns and a swing and a miss. There's something about Flores I just don't vibe with, and there's a better than not chance that it ends up being Flores, so I'll have to find a way to vibe with it. But in the meanwhile, there's something I just don't understand what the gravitational pull is. I really don't.
I think if you start to look though, and again, by the way, I'm not going to fight you so hard. Like, I think Brian Flores is the guy that if you made me say this is the guy I'm most interested in today, that's where we're going with. I also reserve the right to change my opinion on this
for sure,
with more, which is different. Like, there have been years where everyone goes into it thinking this, there's not one of those guys in this draft, or this draft, in this coaching search. And that's why, like, I want your list of candidates to look different than Tennessee and New York. Tennessee and New York look like they just took, so far they look just like a tweet from Adam Schefter 3 weeks ago. Adam Schefter thought these are the guys we should interview, so these are the guys we're going to interview. I want a Doug Peterson on that list. I want a David Shaw on that list. I want a Thomas Brown on that list. I want this to be comprehensive and not just, well, you were a good offensive coordinator with this quarterback, let's roll.
Yeah, I mean, offensive coaches in general, that's kind of been, it's been a very stale thing across the NFL for years now, that you just take these offensive minds and you prop them up and you give them an opportunity. But I don't love anybody is the problem. Like,
that free you though? There's an element of
I hate this.
Oh no, see, well, okay, in fairness, it leaves room for the Browns to screw it up. But I get really uncomfortable when there's an anointed guy. Because, yes, Vrabel and Johnson have worked out.
There usually
isn't. Matt Nagy was an anointed guy.
There usually isn't an anointed guy, but there's usually somebody that I love that most people haven't come around to yet for whatever reason, or they haven't seen it the way that I've seen it, so that it's me trying to get people to maybe see it the way I see it. And that part of it is fun for me. And the idea that I just – there's flaws with all of these guys in immense way is very troubling to me.
Do you have a favorite candidate? The person you're going to put atop the board to start the search, and here's the thing. There is a guy. He's just not available yet. The $20 million question in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.